You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
To inspire good, not madness, not death.
You have inspired good, but you spat in the faces of Gotham's criminals. Didn't you think there might be some casualties? Things were always going to get worse before they got better.
But Rachel, Alfred.
Rachel believed in what you stood for. What we stand for. Gotham needs you.
No, Gotham needs its true hero.
Which is why, for now, they're going to have to make do with you.
All right, man. You guys know who that is, right? Come on, guy. Where's the energy here? That's Batman. Huh? Good gravy, man. That's Batman. And what he says there is which for now they're going to have to make do with you. And that's kind of where we're at this morning. Is I believe that. And so those of you who have not been here, we're in our like third week of like this superhero series, and we've been pulling these different people or different superheroes and running with a clip and then kind of leading into our message. But today is a very special day because each one of us and every superhero has a defining moment. Do we not? Every superhero has a defining moment. Every one of us or every superhero reaches this point of decision, a decision to help humanity and make a difference in this world or resist the God or resist the God-given gifts and abilities and go on our own way. So that's where we're at today. Today, we're looking at that point of decision, that defining moment. So anyways, this superhero series is kind of new to me. I was in Texas 2 weeks ago when Pastor Jay preached his message. And then last week, of course, and he did a great job last week. Brian did a great job, and he shared his message. And I'll be honest with you guys, man, these guys have forgotten more about superheroes than what I know. I'm just telling you, man. I never realized how deep, you know, this stuff gets. I mean, Jay was talking about the difference between AC/DC and Marvel. Wait a second. AC/DC. See, that's what I'm talking about. DC. DC's a comic book, right? And Marvel. When I think of DC, I think of a rock band. You know what I'm saying? And when I think of Marvel, I think of Marvelous Marvin Hagler, you know, a boxer and whatever. But my point is this is these guys, man, they get into the philosophical differences between these plot lines and all this. Dude, it was crazy. I mean, I'm watching on Facebook and I'm taking notes, man, and everything started kind of coming to life for me, you know, having these big aha moments about Marvel comics and stuff like that. But anyway, that's another story. Today, I wanted to share with you mine. I mean, I cut my teeth on Batman, folks. You know that? I mean, back in the, what, late 60s and early 70s, man, Batman, the Batman I knew and the real Batman is not this crazy stuff we see in the movie theaters today. It was Adam West. Huh? Come on now. There we go, bud. Yeah, man. It was Adam West and Burt Ward as Robin, right? That's right. And these guys run around in yoga pants, right? Yeah, yoga pants. And not only that, but what was happening with both of those guys? Look, when the special effects were, it was colored steam coming off dry ice. Right? And to emphasize the sound effects, what you heard was crack with and you saw these big like words, right? Words on the screen. Crack. Boom. Bam. Right? You know, I mean, that's you guys. Never mind. That's what I grew up with, right? That's is that AC or DC? Is that DC or Marvel, OJ? Okay. All right, my bad. All right, so here's the truth. The truth and the whole idea of this superhero series and what we're talking about today is that when we started putting this together, what we realized is that all of us have the capability to be a superhero in our own right. Right on?
Right on.
We do. And while we watch these movies and we see this good versus evil, there is within each of us this profound sense of connection to the good and evil that we sense in our own lives. And there's this longing and this sense of discernment of our limitations. A need for something greater than the limitations that we face. This desire for justice, this desire for things to be made right, this desire for good to prevail over evil. And the truth is we all need something more to overcome and see goodness triumph. We need something beyond our own limitations to help us see the kind of things that we need to see. And I know in my own life, when I'm meeting with someone or when I see brokenness or dysfunction, I think, how in the world can I make a difference? How many think of that? We were doing this hurricane relief and when we were thinking, how in the world can we make a difference for what we were seeing on the news? You see all this brokenness and you see these hurting people. How in the world can we see God move through us to make a difference? And here's the truth. I believe this. I believe that each one of us, we put limits on our God-given potential. We live in self-doubt and limiting beliefs. We think way too small, folks. We see the size of the need or the problem, and we believe it is beyond our capability. God help us, right? Beyond what we can do. And the truth is that we all have what we call at work, a big why. We all have a mission. We all have, there's all, within each of us, all of us have a purpose and a place and a hope and a future. And in a minute, what I want to do, like we did first service, but I want to celebrate. What I want to do is celebrate how all of you acted out in superhuman, superhero strength, right? And made a difference for people in Texas, clear across the country. We want to celebrate that this morning. Celebrate how God moved and how God used and how God empowered and how God allowed us to make a difference and bring big time relief. Know this, that you are not the only ones that sit where you sit now and you think, man, how can I make a difference with what I'm dealing with or what I'm going through or whatever the limitations that you and I face? We're not the only ones that sit back sometimes and question what we feel God is wanting us to do. Matter of fact, throughout Scripture, you see different situations. You see different people throughout biblical history who underestimated what God could do through them. And in Exodus 3, this is no exception. There was this guy in Exodus chapter 3, and his name was Charlton Heston. You guys know what I'm talking about? Maybe not Charlton Heston. I'm sorry. I got the names mixed up. It was Moses, right? Moses. This is Charlton Heston, played Moses. Some of y'all, man, you got to understand, I'm hitting the big 5-0. I'm getting older. I know you're sick of hearing it, but I think I'm going through something in my head, and I keep mentioning it, but I'm looking at all this. Charlton Heston played Moses, and this is before he was working for the, never mind. So anyways, this Exodus chapter 3, there was this guy named Moses, and it was no exception. He was no exception. He did the same thing that you and I do. And it's in Exodus chapter 3. Let's look at this. So what I want to do is I'm going to read through this. I want to read through this because I want you to capture this narrative. I want you to hear the word of the Lord. And I want to just read through this and read through the story. I think sometimes just reading through the story or even doing what Brian did last week by sharing the narrative like he shared
is good. It's good to hear the scripture. And so here we go in Exodus chapter 3. It says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro and the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness, and he came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses stared in amazement. Can you say amazement with me this morning? Amazement. And though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. That's what it says. And when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses replied, here am I. Can you say that with me this morning? Here I am, or here am I. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of the of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to the Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses, like you and I, folks, protested to God. Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And God answered, I will be with you, and this is your sign, that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is your name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Can you say that with me? I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you, folks. That's what he says. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to be remembered for all generations. And then lastly, it says, now go and call together all the elders of Israel. Tell them Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me. He told me, I have been watching closely. I see how the Egyptians are treating you. I have promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt, and I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey, a land rich in blessing. That's the story of Moses. Moses at this point of decision. Moses right there at this defining moment. Moses being called out. Called out to make a difference in this world. Scripture goes hand in hand with really over 60 some hours of windshield time with Randy Harmon. Randy, who is a part of Shelter Community. Randy went down with me to Texas. And there were 60 some hours that we spent together driving, and we spent more time than that actually, but staring at this windshield. And we came to this conclusion that there were three areas of consideration when you reach this point of decision. There's three areas that we need to take in consideration when God calls us out, or just as living and walking with the Lord. And the first area is this. It's trust God. Trust God. The second is clean house. And the third is help people. And I believe that when you follow through with each one of those three, you see what Moses saw. and you see what we as a group, as a community of this church and businesses across town and people who stepped out in faith, you see blessing. Blessing follows that, folks. When you trust God, clean house, and you help people. Moses, we see it in this story that we just read. Look at this in the story. Let's break it down a little bit. Trust God. Moses had to trust God. He trusted God. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a look, God called to him in the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses replied, "Here I am." Folks, in order to trust God, we have to make ourselves available. Some of us have not been available. Available to a God that hurts, a God that grieves, a God when he sees suffering in this world. Look, God's heart breaks for hurting, dying, empty, lost people. He's raised up churches and blessed churches who have taken him seriously and have connected with the hurting, the dying, and the empty, and the lost. In order to make a difference for him, we've got to trust God. And Moses, we see, Moses trusted God. Moses made himself available. "Here I am," Moses said. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face. Moses moved closer to God and pursuing God and trying to tap in and making himself more available. So he didn't just make himself available, he drew closer to God. And in order to draw closer to God, you got to trust God more and more with every area of your life. In the New Testament, Jesus says this in John 14:1. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." I believe that God has a calling on each one of our lives. Each one of us has a purpose. Each one of us, God has a plan. We have something that we're passionate about, something that we want to see happen in this world. And we truly want to make a difference. I don't know anyone sitting in this room this morning that does not want to make a difference in some way. In order to make a difference, folks, we have to trust God. The second thing is this, is clean house. Clean house. And what I mean by clean house is look, every one of us needs to clean house. "Search me, O Lord, and see if there be any anxious way within me. Is there anything in me that separates me from you?" Look, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Each one of us have experienced sin in our lives and things that have kept us from being less than who God wants us to be. And we know it. We live with that sense of conviction, and we live with a sense of man, inside me, something is just not right. Well, when you begin to trust God, it's not long after that that he begins to open up pathways for each one of us to look in detail of areas in our house that need to be cleaned up. Moses' condition was made evident. God says this to Moses, "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. So folks, here's the thing, man. What we know is this, is that God is holy, which means this. God is so full of love that he has no room for anything less than goodness. Essentially, that's what holiness is. And when you begin to trust God and you begin to draw closer to God, you realize your condition compared to his condition. God and his son Jesus Christ is the standard for righteousness and goodness and love and perfection. And you know, when we follow and look to that, God never fails to point out areas in our life that need to be made right. And here's the deal, folks. I'm no different than you, man. You can ask my work friends. Seriously. I'm no different than you. We all deal with a condition that's less than what God wants. God the Father knew that Moses could only come so far. And in all of the limitations, in all of our limitations, God knew that we needed a Savior to come so that we could be one with Him. Isn't that powerful? It's powerful stuff. And we see evidence of that in John 14. Again, John 14. Read John 14. Now, don't just read Exodus 3, 4, 5, and 6 and on. But read John 14. It's powerful stuff. Jesus says this in John 14, 6, 7. He speaks to this idea of cleaning house, this idea of drawing closer to Him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. Folks, that's awesome stuff, man, to know that we can have a relationship with Him and that the God of heaven can come and live and reign within each one of our lives. He can clean up our life and make us who He wants us to be. Right on? Right on, man. So good. So trust God, clean house, and the last thing is this, is help people. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. This is God's heart. God's heart breaks for hurting people. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile, spacious land. It is a land that is flowing with milk and honey, which means this, folks. It's a land of blessing, a land of peace and prosperity. God help us. God's heart breaks, as I said, it grieves. His heart grieves for hurting, dying, empty, lost people. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. See, that's what God sees now with this heroin epidemic. We've lost someone almost 2 months ago. Someone from our own body here, Tuesday Night Recovery Church. Heroin stuff. Look, God sees the bondage and his heart breaks for this stuff. I think we grow up hearing a teaching that God's wrath wants to come down and scorch all of us. Guys, his heart breaks. He grieves when he sees us in bondage and hurt, and hurting. Jesus says this in John 14, 12 and 13, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. And you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Folks, this is the deal. The deal is that Jesus has promised that when we step out and help people, that we will be able to do, the church will be able to do even greater works than what Jesus was able to do. That, I'm not saying that. That's what Jesus said. Jesus is saying that. Jesus is saying when we begin to step out and get into the trenches and we begin to help people, man, that's where God is. Some of us say, man, I've not sensed God in my life for a very, very long time. Well, my promise to you is this, is when you get into the trenches and you start helping people, man, you begin to see God move and God work. I was sharing this with leadership this week when we had our board meeting. There's two times in my life that I have seen God answer prayers like never before. I mean, I'd pray something and something would happen. One was the 30-day when we all did the 30-day 6 years ago. We would pray as a church and God would meet a need for a homeless person downtown. The other one was this past two weeks ago, coming up on a week and a half ago. When we were down there, we needed something. We asked God for it, and God showed up. If it was we needed two budget rental trucks. God showed up with two budget rental trucks. What you guys don't know is we started out with a little pickup truck. We were going to take a pickup truck with some water down there to Texas. Do you guys remember that? Right? And then there was a Facebook post and we're standing by a U-Haul truck and I said something, or U-Haul trailer, we're going to pull a trailer down there. And it was not 24 hours that I get this call, because here's my concern. My concern was, oh my goodness, it started with a pickup truck. Now it's a U-Haul trailer. I'm thinking, man, we've put this out here. We've got this list. I really think we're probably going to have more stuff than a 16-foot U-Haul trailer. That's what I thought. And I started getting worried about it. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help us here. I'm afraid that I've really stuck my foot in my mouth with this, and we're getting ourselves way overextended. I mean, I know you've called us in some way to step out as a church and go down there and provide some help and some services and minister to people, but I think that we're going to get more than what this little 16-footer is going to provide. And it was not 24 hours later, Kelly shows up on my Facebook message. Raise your hand, Kelly. Right there's Kelly. She says, Ryan, you know Chris, we got this Atlas Van Line tractor trailer. And I was sitting talking to Chris last night, and I really feel like God wants us to help you, and we don't want you to rent that U-Haul trailer. We're going to take a tractor trailer down there for you with everything that you guys gather. Isn't that awesome? That's great stuff. And then do you know what the concern was? The concern was, oh my goodness, Lord, we have like a lot of stuff, but we don't have anywhere near enough stuff to fill up this truck, right? Their truck. We had maybe 9,000, 10,000 pounds of goods. Some of that was water. And with all the goods that we collected, you shove that up. I mean, we had a lot of room in that truck. And I knew it because I used to work with Kelly in the moving business. And here's what happened. So I started praying, God, you got to help us somehow to fill up this truck. And I knew that my office gave a ton of stuff. All of you guys kept pouring in. We had people showing up from Facebook media, dropping off goods, baby supplies, and dog food, and dropping off water, and dropping off cleaning supplies, and wheelbarrows, and you name it. We had all kinds of crazy stuff, and it was all packed out in this location, and Home Field Instruction down in Franklin. Jody and Doug Schaaf stepped up. They'll be watching this on Facebook live stream. And then we had Dennis Riggs and his wife Melissa and his sister Laura at Promotional Spring in Miamisburg. We had three drop spots for people, and together we all collected about 10,000 pounds of goods. But deep down, I knew that we needed more in order to fill up their truck. And I kept calling Kelly. Kelly, are you sure you guys want to do this? I don't know that. And I'm kind of wigging out because it was like 2 days before we were supposed to go. And I just knew we weren't going to have a whole bunch of room in that truck. So I'm praying. Many of you were praying. I posted on Facebook, we need more stuff. And we did all we could do. And then Jason Stam, who was here first service, calls me up. And he says this. He says, Ryan, he says, I just got a hold of someone who's connected with the Dayton Food Bank, and they're going to be calling you. And it wasn't 5 minutes later, Dayton Food Bank calls. I said, is your church really taking a semi-truck down to Hurricane Harvey for Harvey relief? And I said, well, yeah, we are. And they said, man, you would not believe this, but we've got all kinds of donations. We've got skids and skids and skids of stuff, and we have no way to get this stuff down there. Isn't that incredible? We prayed for that. God showed up and crazy stuff started happening. So I said, are you going to be there? And he says, yeah. And I said, I'll be there tomorrow morning at like 8:30. So I showed up at 8:30 and they wouldn't let me. Well, that's another story. But they're walking through and they're showing me all this stuff. Big barrels of peanut butter. I mean, we had 1,800 jars of peanut butter, folks. We had like skids and skids of tea. And I thought, man, I don't know if we want that tea, you know. And he says, well, I just need you to take it. And I said, well, okay, we'll take it. Guys, we hand offloaded the tea, and literally the tea was gone. It was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. The tea, I don't know how many bottles of tea, Randy, how many was it? Thousands of bottles of tea. It was gone in minutes. People love the tea. People love the tea, man. It was great. We had, but tea, and because all they'd been drinking was water. So we had tea. We had baby supplies. I mean, we had, guys, Chris Owen and Kelly filled the truck. Kelly, how many pounds do we have on that truck? There was 29,000 pounds of goods on that truck. Crazy stuff. And there was actually more we could have picked up at the food bank. So we get down there. We're at the food. We're down there in Houston. And as we're down there in Houston, Randy is in Houston working in Wharton. Long story, but we found where God wanted us. The Dayton Food Bank led us to where we spent most of our time at this little AG church, this little Abundant Life church. And it reminded me so much of Shelter Old Church building. This guy had started it. He was a youth pastor, and he was in this community. Reminded me of John Glenn, man. My heart just broke for these folks. I mean, on Sunday morning, this guy is preaching on a beautiful, clear day, and they hear water start coming into their building. These folks were not affected by the winds. They were affected days later by the flooding. And while he's preaching, they see water start coming in, and they leave that morning, and in 3 hours, they had 36 inches of water in their church building and all throughout their neighborhood. So the Dayton Food Bank led us to that place. It was that place that Randy spent most of his time. And then God called Randy out again and met this other pastor in Elm Grove, 20 some miles away in this little town. There's like 300 families in this little town. And it was generational families that were sharecroppers or slaves in the South, right? Generations, and they were affected by poverty in this environment. And here's the deal. No one had been there. The Red Cross, no one had been there. No relief effort, nothing. And these folks had 7 foot of water. And Randy went there, his heart broke, and he's on the phone with me. And I'm back in Austin at that point doing our work stuff at KW Cares. And Randy's saying, Ryan, you got to figure out how to get more supplies to these people. And so I said, Randy, all I know to do is pray. We just got to pray. So we start praying. And then I call KW Cares, who we work with, Keller Williams. And it took like 3 or 4 calls, and this guy said, look, I'm trying my best to try to get you stuff. And I told him of the plight an hour and a half south of Houston. I said, look, we will figure out a way to get what you need to get there. Guys, God answered prayer after prayer after prayer, and here's what happened. He calls me up. He says, how many trucks you got? Kelly had already headed back to Ohio, and I'm like, well, how many do you need? He says, well, can you get two 26-footers? I said, no problem. I had no idea. I said, no problem. I figured, wasn't my problem. It wasn't my problem. It was God's problem, right? So I'm on the phone, man, trying to figure out. And the thing about it, you guys know how hard it is in a hurricane to find 226-foot trucks. It is not easy to find because everybody's got these things used up. God led us to these trucks. We had 2 trucks. One we picked up in Austin. Steve Weiser and I drove to Houston, and then we went to Houston. Robin drove me over, and we picked the other one up in Houston. And then one group went, dispatched my office group. One group went to where Randy was, and we offloaded, and those people couldn't get that stuff off quick, and they lay it down, and a lot of it was gone. A lot of it was stored for them. They took as much as they could have, but there were no supplies, and they were served well. And then we went took the rest of it back to the AG and to the Abundant Life Church. Guys, just amazing how God worked. And here's the thing. God lives in areas where people need help. You read this through Exodus, and what you see is God is right there with these people that are suffering and hurting and dying and lost. And some of us say, man, I've not felt God, or I don't know where God's at in my life. Listen, when you get in the trenches, you're going to find God, man. When you start helping people, you're going to find God, because that's where God is. God is there with the hurting. He's there with those that are in need. Look, John 14, 12, 13. I'll sum this up. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done. This is Jesus. And even greater works. Because I am going to be with the Father. And you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We're not bringing glory to Kelly or Jason Stamm, who helped us secure the food bank, or to my office. Or we're not bringing glory to Randy or anything he shares today. We're bringing glory to the Father because he came through for those folks. You understand what I mean? And he allowed us as a church to be a part of it and receive the blessing that we were able to receive by being there, by stepping out of our comfort zone and making a difference. So here's where we all are this morning. We are all at a point of decision. And yeah, this is all wrapped around this whole superhero series and whatever you think about that, but the truth is this, is God has called each one of us to make a difference in this world. He's called each one of us to come to this point of decision, this defining moment, where we ask ourselves, do we trust God? What areas of our life do we need to clean house? And are we going to be willing to help people. And that's where we all are. And I believe that's where we are even today, this morning. John 14, and I'll close my side out with this. It says this: "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you." Some of us say, you know, man, there's no way, Ryan, and I know God's leading me to do something, but there's no way that I can do that. Here's the deal, man. You can't do it. You can't do it. But you can do it. The only way you can do it is with the advocate. Do you know what the advocate means? The advocate is someone who sits or someone who stands alongside you. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's God who meets with us where we are. And he says this: who will never leave you. That advocate, that Holy Spirit, is meant to comfort and encourage and strengthen and instruct, give you direction. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later. And he says, I will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We have the opportunity to have God in us, folks. That's just incredibly, incredibly powerful stuff. There are people in this world who need you. Know that. And I know many of us here this morning, you're going through a lot. There's stuff in your life that you're battling with and that you're going through. Stuff in your life that's happened that, you know, you're challenged by. But God can be with you, and he can lead you to a place where you can trust him more, a place where he can help you clean house, and a place where he can help you help other people. Amen? Right on? Right on. That's good. So this morning, guys, I just want to make... I want Randy, I'm not going to call everybody to share unless you want to, guys, but I wanted Randy to come and just share with his experience. Come on up here. You're fine. You come up right here. I want you right up here. Yeah. Randy had one condition in riding down there with me, and it was that on any social media he was not to be a part of, and I was not to mention his name or call him up front for anything. And Bud, you're clapping, Bud. You think that's funny? Your turn's coming, Bud. I'm just telling you. I'm picking on Bud this morning. But Randy, it was an incredible experience, was it not?
It was.
Yep.
It was.
Tell us what you experienced.
I just saw God. I'm sorry. I'm not a good speaker. Okay, I'm going a different direction. In Psalms 141, it says that the prayer of the saints is like incense on a throne. I really kind of believe that this whole thing came out of the protocol.
15 minutes every day with the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we don't pray enough. In Ezekiel, God said, I looked. One man. I looked for one man who would stand in the gap and pray. And I couldn't find one. Shame on us. If we want to see change, we got to pray. We got to trust God. We got to clean house. And we got to help people.
Yeah. That's it.
That came from Mike, by the way.
Yeah, came from our good friend Mike.
I met so many great people, and people that in their need were giving.
Yeah.
It's hard to understand. But we saw God work.
Yeah.
And, you know, the different things he talked about, those are just the high places in the road. You know, there was dozens and dozens and dozens of things. The little town of Elm Grove, there's no place there to unload. He called and said, you've got a truck on the way. It'll be there in an hour. And we didn't have any place to unload.
And I didn't let anybody know that either.
Yeah. So we're scrambling and praying. I'm with an elderly gentleman named Clayton, who's a retired veterinarian who just came up beside me and helped. And a little lady named Ellen said, I'll take you to the pastor, because nobody's phones were working. From the time I met Deacon Allen 3 days before until we got there with the truck.
Probably all out of minutes.
Yeah, everybody's out of minutes. The entire infrastructure's gone, so we couldn't even call anybody. We had stuff for their need, but we didn't know where to go or who to talk to. Pulled into the neighborhood. The little lady said, I'll take you right where you need to go. We went to a used car lot with a closed restaurant next door, because that was the only building that wasn't destroyed.
Yeah. And that's awesome stuff, because that's where my work folks stepped up. That leg of the trip is where they drove 4 hours to help us offload. Would you guys stand up? Aaron's here. I know you don't want to be embarrassed, but Robin, Steve's in the back. And give him a hand, would you?
Yeah.
There was six of them, seven, or actually eight of us that helped. And I wanted to come and honor them, because they, you guys don't know, man, how much work that was to make a difference for other people. And they were in Austin with us, and we were there to do relief work, but not drive that far and not do that kind of activity. But, man, they were sweating, and it was crazy, man, how hard they all worked. Lee was a part of that, Charlene, and Steve. Steve's here in the building somewhere. But, man, it was just incredible to see. And then, Kelly, you stand up. Would you stand up, Kelly? Kelly, run her that mic. I wanted to ask her one question. I'm going to put her on the spot. But, Kelly, you saw the post of the U-Haul trailer. Tell them what happened with you and Chris. Would you mind telling them with you know, the idea in the beginning of driving that truck down?
Well, I really felt like we were called to do something and didn't know what two people could do. And then I saw your post, and we were standing in Starbucks, and I looked at Chris and I said, how much fuel money is it going to cost us to get to Houston? And I got the sideways stare because he knew I was getting him into something. So I messaged Ryan right away, and he went, I'll call you in a couple days. And then when he called me on Wednesday night, panicking that there wasn't going to be room for the Red Cross items on the truck, mm-hmm. I said, we're going to fill it all the way. And somehow he got out of Thursday night. He blames it on his wife. But he got out of loading on Thursday night.
I had it Thursday. I made up for it, though. I made up for it.
He was on Ryan's time.
But, hey, give her a hand, would you? Man, they came through in a really big way. They really did. So let's all stand. Here's what I want to do. We'll close out right now. And I just want to do this. I wanted to honor those guys who helped us, and I wanted you to see what God was doing through other people. Look, here's the deal. When you begin to trust God and you allow God to clean your house, he moves you out to a place where you're able to help people, number one, but he empowers you to help people. And I just believe that this is a church that's called, Terry Harrell, to help people. We're called to help people. That's what this is about. We make church life way too complicated, folks. We're driving it down to very simple, bare essentials where we get out there amongst them and we see a difference being made in the lives of those that are in need. So I want to pray. God, I pray that you would empower us, Lord, that you will help us. May this day be a day, Lord, where it's kind of like that burning bush, Lord, and some of us are standing back and we're like, you know what, I want to step a little closer to that and I want to see what that's all about. Help us, Lord, in those steps to begin to trust you more. And then, Father, as we draw closer to you, begin to reveal within us areas of our life that we need to just say, hey, Lord, I'm really sorry. I know that what I've done and what I've been doing is less than your goodness. And I pray that you would help me, that you would clean me up and make me right. Make me clean. Give me a restart, new identity in you. Lord, help me. And he's always faithful to do that, folks. And then, Father, I pray that you then would help us to get past our own limiting beliefs, our own limitations, get past our own lies and things that we've believed that have held us back for years. Pray that as you reveal truth to us, that then you begin to move us out. And Lord, I believe, and I speak this over this church, you're calling us as people that are following you. You're calling us more to do more than just you're calling us to do more than the back of a bed of a pickup truck. You're calling us, God, to a big semi truck of good and help and relief to a hurting, dying, empty, lost world. Help us to get beyond the limits and to think bigger, to believe that God, we can do all things through you who strengthens us. Right on? Right on. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And before you leave this response, this week, how many here will just raise your hand and say, you know what, Ryan? This week, I'm going to make a difference in someone's life. See those hands? All right. And then my prayer is, Lord, and you help us, Father, to come back next week and share, not brag, but share what God did in you to help someone else. All right. Can you do that? Will you do that for me? Will you do that for the Lord, I should say. So, Lord, bless us on our way. Lord, again, we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done. And, Lord, I pray that you would be with us this week as we seek to trust you. We seek to clean house, and we seek, Father, to help people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.